I have a question for you guys. Have you ever had to take a step back from a situation to realize the importance of it? This happened to me once when I had the audacity at the age of 10 to tell my mother that, you know what, cooking dinner, it's really not that hard. After spending that whole weekend alone in my room, I realized that, you know what, cooking dinner, it's important to my mom. But more embarrassingly, I had another event happen this year. I was a member of this year's Florida College men's soccer team. But due to some health issues, I missed the first couple of games. And I was very out of sync with the rest of the team. And we had a 4 o'clock game, and Coach Matthew Evans told us that we had to be in the locker room by 3:15, ready to go. So me, being my smart self, showed up like anybody else at 3:15. Well, little did I know that 3:15 actually was 3 o'clock in Coach Evans' book. So I opened up the door of the locker room, and what did I see? A team that was all ready to go, uniforms on, ready to walk on the field, and Coach Evans, in his authentic Jamaican accent, looks at me and says, "Peyton, what are you doing?" And I froze. I was embarrassed, I was lost, and quite frankly, I was panicked. As the guys are on the field warming up, I'm in the locker room just trying to put my uniform on as fast as I can. And I get out on the field and I'm asking guys like Bradley and Drew, what's going on? Am I even playing today? Am I starting? You see, I failed to realize the importance of the locker room and how important that aspect is. And because of it, my performance suffered in warm-ups and definitely in the first 10 minutes of that game. The locker room, it's vital. It's a place for us as Christians to regroup. And that's what I want to talk about. Think of this aspect as church, as a locker room. Have you ever thought about it that way? Church, a locker room? It's a place where we can come to get direction from others. A place to regroup and to be alone with our teammates, our fellow Christians in Christ. This is where we can step away from that everyday game that's going on and come here as a place of refuge to get stronger. That's what I want us to look at this morning, how the church, this assembly of Christians at the local congregation, is like a locker room, and how important it is and should be to us as Christians, followers of Christ. And the first aspect of dealing with how church is like a locker room is, it's a time to deal with the injured. Look over in Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, and in verse 17, reads, "When Jesus heard it, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" Christ, he is the one who is our great physician, the one the sick can go to be healed. Not just a temporary fix, but healed. Sometimes in an athletic event, you see a player get a cut or a bruise, and they run over to the sideline real quick and get it bandaged up. But that's just simply the mask, the injury. They're not really fixed. If something serious happens, where do they go to? They cart them off to the locker room. And that's where they go to for the serious injuries and for the help from those that are experienced to be examined with what's really wrong. And maybe you've been spiritually sick in the past, but we cannot be afraid of coming to church ever, our locker room. But realize that the people here want to help, support, and encourage us. Because sometimes if people stop going to church, that is when they can become spiritually sick. And that's when they need the physician most. That's when they need Jesus in their life. But not only are they sick, they also might be lost. And that's my second point, that church is a time to redirect the lost. Over in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, and in verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." Save that was lost. And I think Coach Evans can really vouch for me on this one, that a locker room is where you need to redirect some guys. So many times he'll have players running around the field like fools, myself included. And sometimes there's no timeouts, and you need that locker room to tell people what they're doing wrong and to redirect them in the direction that they're supposed to be going. But spiritually speaking, if we're skipping out on Bible studies, prayers, songs, sermons, and just having fellowship with our other members, who's going to save us then? If we start missing church, we lose accountability to others, but most importantly, we miss out on a chance to just praise God. That's the third aspect of this locker room, praising God. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 18. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet, and he gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved." We need the praise the head of our church, which is Christ. Praise God for sending his son to die on the cross. That very gift that Jake hit on perfectly in his sermon, it was a free gift that God gave to us, his son. And through grace, we are saved. But I want you guys thinking that nothing positive can come out of a locker room. I don't want to create an image of just a bunch of sick and lost people walking around. But praise is necessary too. Coaches, it's necessary that they praise players as well. If they're always harping on them and telling them things that they're doing wrong, no player is ever going to respond well to that. They need to tell them when they're doing something that's right. And that's what we have now, a time to praise God and thank him for all the blessings that he's put in our lives. Spiritually, we need to use church as a time with hundreds of other Christians, as we do now, to thank God for his mercy of sending Jesus to us. It's through Christ that we have a chance in heaven, and through him that we have a purpose here on earth. Jesus gives us a purpose here on earth, something to motivate us for heaven. We need to thank God and praise him for his mercy and love. And that brings me to my fourth and final point, that church as this locker room, it's a time to get pumped. Why aren't we pumped? Why aren't we just, yeah! All the college kids are looking at me like, dude, we had a banquet on Friday, you need to chill. Be lucky I got out of bed. Now to get pumped for church? Let me see if I can find some passages that will give us something to get pumped about if we haven't been already. Look over in 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy and begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved for you in heaven. Inexpressible joy. That's something that we should get pumped about. When I think about a perfect locker room of getting guys pumped up, two examples come to mind. One of those is the FC locker room before a game. Music playing. It's quiet. Not a word is being said. And the person that comes to my mind is Drew Hull. Before a soccer game, he would have his headphones on. And there was nothing else going through his mind then but soccer. Quiet, focused, ready for what's about to happen. Locker room, it's where you get pumped for the battle that's about to take place. But I don't think there's no better locker room than that of my state, which is, I'm from Omaha, Nebraska, and that's Nebraska Cornhuskers. They are famously known for the tunnel walk in the locker room. And it's something that it will give me goosebumps just talking about it. They open up the doors of the locker room, and you see the head coach, who now is Bo Pelini, and he's standing there with his fist in the air, and all the players are on top of him, and they're saying a prayer. And the cameraman has the camera down on him, and he walks in front of them as they come out of the locker room. And as they walk out, there's a big horseshoe right outside the locker room, and all the players jump up and they smack it. And then as they keep walking, they're underneath the stadium, and you can hear just 90,000 crazy Nebraskans cheering. And then they walk by the Rock of Good Luck, and every player goes over and they touch it. And then they have the VIP fans line up, and the field's starting to be in sight. And you walk through it, and all those fans and a lot of those kids that they have there, the VIP fans, are cancer kids. And that's who the players are looking at right before they step on the field. And then they can start to see the light shining through from the field, and they can hear all the fans doing the Nebraska cheer. Husker! And the second that they step on that turf, do you not think that every single one of those guys is ready to play ball? They are so ready to go out for that battle that's about to take place. What is it going to take for us to get that pumped up when we leave church? Do we need an artist's reconstruction of Revelation 21 where it talks about the streets being paved with gold and the 12 precious stones up above and everybody that walks out of the room jumps up and slaps that? Then when they see Kenny, they can chest bump him? Would that get us pumped up? This is our spiritual locker room. This is where we need to come to get motivated, to be mentally strong, ready for the week that lies ahead where we can't be with our fellow Christians in Christ. Church can get us motivated and keep us motivated for that motivation that we sometimes lack. We should look forward to times like this that we have the worship and get excited, get pumped about it. Because maybe we forget that we have an incorruptible reward that's reserved for us in heaven, that's just waiting for us. Because on the flip side of that, we're in a game that, you know what, we don't want to lose. There's going to be a decisive victory, and there's going to be a decisive loss. It's either going to be hell or heaven. We have to choose if we're going to win this battle or lose it. But thankfully, in this game, we're never on our own. We have the best coach ever, God. He's undefeated, and he always will be. And he's on our side. We have unlimited timeouts. We can always go to him through prayer. As Derek said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Always do it. There's no limitation to how much we can pray. And secondly, he gave us his playbook. We have the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We have something that can make us perfect, make us complete, make us whole. The rest is up to us, and we have to choose for ourselves if we're ready for this battle. Over the summer, I heard a sermon by Haley Bowman's father, Russ Bowman, at a lectureship. And instead of doing a normal invitation, he said this quote, and then he walked off. And what he said was, "If you miss heaven, then hell is all there is." And it was a powerful sermon. And after hearing him say those words and just walk off and sit down, the song leader didn't get up for about another 2 or 3 minutes as we just sat there with those words ringing in our ears. And how powerful they are. Because if we miss heaven, then hell is all there is. And I don't want us to miss out on that chance of heaven because we failed to realize how important coming to church is. It can do so much for us and also others as well as being an encouragement to those that are around us. It is important that you go to the locker room before the game because you have to be ready for it. So whether you're sick and you need the physician, or maybe you're lost and you need some direction, or you know what, things are going great in your life right now. And you're going to use this time to praise God and thank him for all the blessings that he has poured out on you in your life. This time we like to offer up an invitation for those who have maybe not yet become baptized and would like to start fighting with Jesus on their side. Or maybe you have been baptized and have not been living the way maybe a Christian should. You need help. Whatever you need, please come forward as we stand and sing the song selected.